It's Renee here. I am obsessed with everything mindset, growth, and personal development. This show is all about how to work on yourself and shift your perspective so you can unleash the badass woman in you and live your best life. If you feel that you're meant for more and you're ready to learn, you're at the right spot. Let's do this. Hello, my babe. Welcome to It's Renee Podcast. Again, super honored to have you here. Excited to have you here. Excited that you're jumping on this journey with me and that we are sharing this moment together. So good on you again for putting yourself first and for spending the time on your personal development. Today we are talking about things I wish I knew sooner. And I'm feeling super like, I don't know, I feel like elf on the shelf right now. I feel like excited and giggly, and I feel like being a little annoying pest. Sorry, boyfriend, for when you come home. I don't know. I just feel inspired today. So I'm going to give you all of this. So things I wish I knew sooner. Trauma. I wish I knew that trauma that can affect who you become as an adult can actually come from small events that seemed so insignificant at the time. I'll give you an example. So I applied for a job with the government when I was, I think it was my second year of college. And so as you apply for jobs with the government, they will ask you to write these tests. So one of them, I think, honestly, I can't remember, but there was a few of them. And on one of the tests, it said in the instructions not to write on the questionnaire. So they gave us like extra blank sheets so we could write on there. But one of the instructions was not to write or scribble on the actual questionnaire and just write your answers on the answer sheet. Me being me and being super visual and manual, like I got the questions and I started writing on it. I started, you know, scribbling answers and calculation and just my thoughts on there. And anyways, I submitted the tests and I got my results back, and the tests were actually like, I scored like over 85 on all of them, and I was super proud. But I didn't get the job, and the reason was I didn't have attention to detail because the instructions clearly stated you cannot write on the questionnaire. So obviously, I was kind of like hurt and felt like, you know, embarrassed a little bit and was like, what the hell? Like, why didn't I see that? And blah, blah, blah. And so I didn't get the job. Moved on in my life, went to university, completed my my accounting course and whatnot, moved back home. And one of my first jobs, it was in accounting, obviously. And I was making stupid, careless mistakes. And I was getting called out on it. And basically, they kept saying that I didn't have attention to details. And so it kept going on like this. And it's only later on that I realized that one comment from that test for the government stuck in my head, and I kept repeating actions, or I kept doing things to reinforce that comment, to reinforce that statement that I didn't have attention to details. So I did careless mistakes and got that same comment over and over and over again. Until just recently, well, recently, a few months ago for a course, I had to do a test. And on one of the tests, it's all about like your personality and your characteristics and how you react to certain things and whatnot. And one of the area of that test was about attention to detail. And I actually scored like in the very high end of that spectrum or whatever, saying that I had a very big attention to detail. And that really, like in that moment, it made me realize how, wow, I carried that for so many years. One person, so insignificant in my life, said that I didn't have attention to details, and that stuck with me, and I kept repeating mistakes, and it kept being said again, over and over again. And I really thought about that for so long, and it affected me in so many ways, not just at work, but outside of work. And so I let that really sink in, and it really determined the next few years of my life. And in that moment that I got the test about my personality and all of that, I was so happy. I was so happy because along the way, eventually I was able to gain confidence in my job, and I was able to, you know, climb the corporate ladder. And eventually I became a person who's reviewing some people's work and actually catching mistakes. So I really was able to work through that, but it affected me for so long. And I was like, wow, it's crazy how we hear things about ourselves coming from people that are completely external to us. And we let that guide our next steps, and we let that guide how we feel. And it should not be like that. We're the only one that really should be able to say anything about ourselves. So anyways, that was one of them, and it was kind of long, but really wanted to put that out there. The second thing I wish I knew sooner, there's a difference between having high expectations for yourself and actually letting this affect your happy moments and your daily life. This has been a struggle of mine for as long as I can remember. And there's really no events that can pinpoint, there's no big events that made me this way. I even like through therapy, like, you know, I've been asked if my parents were hard on me, if they were really expecting high grades at school or anything like that. And that wasn't the case. So we're still kind of looking through it and to see like where it's coming from. But it's been a really big thing in my life. And to give you a couple examples of this. So when I passed my CPA, so if you don't know what a CPA is, so you go to university to become an accountant. And then after that, you can kind of go on and keep studying for an extra like 2 years and get an extra designation. And it's like kind of like the doctorate of accountants. And so it's very hard to pass. It's kind of a big deal in the accounting world. And anyways, I passed the first time, and I was sitting there being like, I got happy for a minute, obviously, and relieved and all of that, the excitement of, you know, accomplishing that. And shortly after, I got to think, and I was like, how did I pass? I'm not even that good enough. Like, it's weird that they made me pass. Like, they must have been in a good mood on that day when they were reviewing the tests. Like, what? Like, what? What the hell? I deserve to pass that friggin' test, and I still deserve it today. And it's, anyways, when I think about that, it still blows my mind. And then a second thing, an example that I can give you is when I passed my motorcycle course, which this was not too long ago, maybe like 4 years. I passed a course. It was a week-long course. There was some theory, and then there was some practice on the bikes. And at the end of the weekend, you either pass or fail. Anyways, I passed, was excited about passing. But I got home and I was crying. And I remember my ex-husband being like, why are you crying? Didn't you pass? And I was like, yes, I passed, but I wasn't good enough. Like, I should have been better. And he was like, what? what are you saying? You've never driven a motorcycle before. It was your first time on that and you passed. And so this like goes to show, like, it's one thing to have high expectations about yourself. And I think it's great because it means that you care and you want to move in life. But when it affects your happy moments or your daily life, like, it's no longer healthy and it shouldn't be this way. So this was something I really had to work through. The next thing is, although normalized by society, 9-to-5 job in a corporate environment is not the only way that you can make a living. And it's not the only type of job that will make you a success or not. There is other ways. There is other things that you can do out there. And you can actually be quite successful in the uncommon careers that there's out there. And I'm really happy because 2022, or even a little before that, I feel like it's slowly changing and shifting. I feel like people want more time freedom. They're becoming more and more aware of how time is precious and they don't really want to spend 95% of it in an office. So I think that's really shifting, and I really like that. It happened to me. I had a 9-to-5 in a corporate job. I was actually doing quite a bit of overtime, which makes it even worse. And I'm slowly, you know, realizing that this is not really what I want anymore. Like, I can make money in different ways. So really something to think about. Things I wish I knew sooner. You should not feel inferior, unworthy, and nervous at your job. It's normal to have the jitters on the first day, and it's normal to be, you know, a bit nervous in the first few months because you're learning, you're in training, and sometimes, you know, you can make mistakes and that's nerve-wracking. But really, you should not feel unworthy or inferior as the months progress, or you should not even feel unworthy or inferior in the very beginning. If you do, the problem is the workplace or your leaders, not you. And notice how I use the word leaders, because that's what they should be, leaders. So one of my first job, I remember I would, you know, it was one of my first jobs in accounting, and I would come back home and I would cry most evenings, feeling so unworthy and feeling inferior and feeling like I was a failure and really questioning my career choice. Like, there is so many times where I was like, am I in the right field? Like, did I pick right? And shortly after, you know, I got other roles and in different offices, and I realized, oh, I wasn't the problem. Thank God. Like, it's very rare that you're the problem. Unless you get fired job after job, like, chances are that it's not you, the problem. So really important, like, you should not feel like you can't bring your whole self to work. You should not feel like you're constantly a failure. Like, your colleagues and especially your leaders should lead the way, and they should help you thrive and grow, and they should have your best interests at heart. Super important. The next one. Oh, and I heard a phrase that I really, really love. It says, how you lead at work is how you love at home. I find this very powerful because I think there is definitely some truth in there. You know, I've seen some leaders at work that are very much kind of like direct and you know, not necessarily leading and kind of just like pushing people and making all the decisions and trying to control. And I've heard that they're very similar at home. So I think there is some truth in there. And I don't know, it's a very powerful, powerful phrase. The next one. Oh gosh. Miscarriage is very common. And if you go through one, doctors will be very robotic when they tell you about this. And the four pills they want you to take will certainly 100% not feel like mild effing period cramps. Whew. I can openly talk about this now, although it's still very, very much close to my heart, and it still bothers me quite a bit. And I still have my moments where, you know, it's very hard. When I think about all of this and the excitement that we have, especially with Christmas fast approaching, you know, we were so excited about all of this. So obviously it's still hard, but I was very, very blown away at one, how common this actually is. And I had no idea about it. I feel like people don't talk about this and it should really be normalized. The second thing is, although we receive outstanding service at the hospital, like outstanding, like the doctor was amazing at what she does, and super informative and all of that. I think they are so used to seeing that in their world that there's not really any emotions or kind of acknowledgement of how you could be feeling in that moment when they tell you there's no heartbeat. I felt like I needed a minute. I needed to breathe. I needed to assess what was going on. And it was just very like, okay, now you need to expulse that, and we'll give you pills, and it should feel like mild period cramps and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's nice to make it normal because I think it should be normalized. But at the same time, it's like a lot more traumatic than it felt like it was taken from their part. Anyways, so yeah, it is a lot of pain that you go through, and not just emotionally, physically, it's also quite traumatic, to be honest. So if you're ever going through that, send me a message and I can give you more information. Obviously I'm not an expert, but I just had the experience not too long ago, so I can definitely sympathize and understand what you're going through. Next, things I wish I knew sooner. Some friends will be here forever. Others will be here only to teach you a lesson or for a season. Wow, so many years I was holding on for dear life to some people that I thought, well, they entered my life, it must mean that they should be here forever. No, you know what? Some of them are here to teach you a lesson, and some of them are here for a season. So understanding that really helps accepting that some people will come and go, and accepting that your circle might not be the same in a year or two. And just, yeah, like friendships, it's important, I think, to know this, because the five people that you hang out with the most will really affect your life. So maybe maybe it's time for you to start assessing your circle and keep this, what I just told you, in mind. Let me flip my page. University is cool, but have you tried following your dreams? Woo! I thought that, you know, I needed that prestige from having a university diploma, and I would only, you know, make money if I would go to university. But hey, I'm more successful now than I ever was, and it's not even from my accounting career. So there's that. Success is what you make it, and it will never look the same for anyone, including your parents and your closest friends. You define success, and that's it. If you feel like this is success for you, that's what you do, and you cannot stop at what people will say, or else even your parents and your close friends, or else you'll just never do anything. So you have to do it anyway. You can be social but still want slash need your alone time. It is a thing. I'm one of those. I'm, you know, extroverted, introvert, call it however you want to call it. I am a social butterfly, but after the event or the supper or whatever, how you want to define it, I usually need quite some time to rest and recharge my batteries. And I didn't know it was a thing. And now I know. And it's so much easier to go through life. What other people think of you, your choices, your family, your journey, it has nothing to do with you. And quite frankly, it's none of your damn business. You cannot control what people say about you. You cannot control what people think about you. I've tried that before. I did some really good things. People were still saying bad things behind my back. I did some horrible things. People were still saying things behind my back. So it's, you just got to keep moving, and you can't look backwards and around. Like, you just got to look forward one step at a time and just go for it. Like, whatever what they say, like, they're not paying your bills. They're probably not going to be there at your funeral. So why do you give them that much power over your life? Important. Woo. Next one, and I swear I'm almost done. You can literally control anything with your mind. So you can train your mind by doing personal development. It's really a continuous learning. And in my opinion, it's a true key to unlocking lifelong happiness and fulfillment. I wish I knew this sooner. I would have started my journey a lot sooner. It's incredible how light I've been feeling, how happy I've been feeling by really understanding how my body and my mind works, and really training my mind to be positive and happy and to say nice things to myself and all of that. So that was it for today. It's a bit more happy and bubbly, I think, than what you've seen before, but it's also a part of me. So I'm really happy I got to share this side with you. So this is the end. Talk to you soon, my babes. Au revoir. Thank you.